how you made it into my heart. Now you want to say it's over, and I just can't believe it. How could you fall in love with a girl who runs around with a spider for a pet? I can't help that I'm a bit spiteful, it's just the way I am. You may love her carefree ways, but she can't do the things that I can. Don't you remember your first time? You were so afraid, but I took your hand and I showed you the way. I chased away the nightmares, and even if you miscast and fell, I was there to breathe life in you to again make you well. Our hunting ground has been UW, and now you say that we are through. How could you just up and walk away, leaving me here alone in TOA? You know that I will never leave you hungry, not the way that you know her famine will. She may look pretty for a while, but I'm the one who makes you whole. Yeah, I know she's got the spirit, but I've got the soul. One day you will see the danger of ever falling for a ranger, and you will come running back to me, 'cause you and I were always meant to be. You pray to Dwayne. I give my blood to grave. They say opposites attract. We are living proof of that fact. We were meant to be. It's time you dump that floozy. Come back to me. We make such a perfect team. We were meant to be. Hey all, welcome back to Guildcast. I am Lady Sinea, and I will be your host for this episode, episode 95. I love Guild Wars. My pastimes include hunting char, team farming, writing Guild Wars songs even though I have no musical talent, doing missions with friends, and annoying Loudon. I enjoy alliance battles, HA, and quiet walks along the beach near Fisherman's Haven. Back when I lived in an apartment where I could smoke indoors, I used to love a good cigar while I was playing. I could time how long a farming run was taking by how far I was into my smoke. And if I bought a different size for some reason, it just threw my whole game off. I also commend the listeners who have caught my very few references to this hobby and have sent me an email about it. And to the ones who don't say, WTF does that name mean when I roll a PvP character named Avo Exo Intermezzo? Some girls collect sets of armor and matching shoes. I collect mini pets, red iris flowers, and interesting quest items. I also have a collection of my humps, which I keep on a rich list named She's Got Me Spendin', which I created after watching a video that Sean made. I have a stash of snowman summoners that I collected so that I could give them to a good friend of mine who used to love those things. I was heartbroken when he quit playing Guild Wars, and I basically lost all desire to play the game after that. I think I'm getting over it now and might be ready to come back to the game. I like to skill cap and do quests. Sometimes I sit under my favorite tree in my Wizard's Isle Guild Hall and do nothing except for talk to people. And even if that's all I do, I feel like that's still a worthwhile play session. Sometimes I faction farm while chatting. And sometimes I set myself to offline and just go sit looking out at the desolation beyond the Great Northern Wall and try to remember what it was like to be happy. I've been a part of Guildcast for over 2 years now. During that time, I have met some wonderful people. A few who asked to be mentioned are Caught by the River, Michael the Red, Ting-a-Ling, Mixter Harbinger, Shinu Kintamo, Granny Gravedigger, and Exkin Dexku. I had originally intended to make this episode about the bonus mission pack, but I figured that you probably could just go to the wiki and find out all the tips there. I had also planned on talking about what I thought of the bonus mission pack being sold in the online store, and about how it seemed to me that the Winter's Day Festival was very poorly planned, and how I thought that this year's Canthan New Year's Festival just totally sucked balls. And I was also thinking of maybe trying to give some tips about podcasting, since some of you have expressed interest in starting one up. But in the end, I decided against it. This is probably going to be my last time speaking to you in this setting here on Guildcast. I probably will be in the next Guildcast episode, but this will be my last time just talking to you like this. So I decided that this episode is just going to be me, without the rants, without the skill descriptions, without the technical game data, just me talking to you. I chatted online in-game a couple of weeks ago with a fellow named Johnny, who said that he's training for a marathon in October. That's the same time of year that I did mine in 2006, and I just want to wish him good luck on his upcoming run. Some people might say that running doesn't take skill, that it's not like your traditional sports, which, you know, those take real skill. And yeah, they might be saying that, but you don't see them out on cold mornings getting ready for a 10, 15, or 20 miler. So don't ever let them say you can't do it, because you can. So when he told me about this, it reminded me of my own marathon, and I'm going to tell you a little story about how it and podcasts changed my life. Some of it I wrote down in a blog somewhere, but some of it I've never told, so I'm going to tell it now. Guildcast was the first podcast that I ever listened to. After discovering it, I started listening to other shows relating to my other interests. I started listening to a running podcast, and one time when I was out on the road listening to some guy talking about a marathon, I decided that I wasn't going to turn back around and go home, but I was going to continue and press on a little bit further. And I ran 10 miles that day and thought, hey, maybe doing a serious long distance was something that I could really do one day. And I had mentioned the possibility of running a marathon a few times before, kind of just in passing, but my husband at the time had always put the thought down, and he used to say a lot of cruel, discouraging things to me about my running, about my music, about me playing games. So this time, when I actually did go and signed up for that marathon and really decided to go for it, I didn't tell him about it. I just went and found a program and started doing it. I would do my long runs on the weekend when he wasn't around, and I would play Guild Wars all evening on a Saturday night, and maybe go to bed at 4 a.m. if on a good night, I went to bed at like 4 a.m. And he wasn't home, and there were times when I felt like I must be a terrible, terrible wife for not really caring where he was or why he wasn't home yet. And the problem was, I had a feeling I didn't want to know. When I reached the peak of my training and did that 20-mile run, I was feeling good. And for some reason, I don't know why they were doing it, but as I ran past a local amphitheater, there were fireworks. So for the last 1 mile or half a mile, I got to watch the fireworks as I finished my run, and it was amazing. It was so uplifting. I will never forget that. It was like someone out there was cheering for me, and I knew that I really would be able to finish this race. When it came to the day before the marathon, I went to go pick up my race packet. And I was feeling fine, I was confident, but when I started walking back to my car, the reality of it suddenly hit me that I actually had in my hands my race bib and a timing chip, and all of a sudden I started getting nervous, and my hands were shaking for like a long time after that. But race day came, I was able to eat and everything, so I felt fine. There was a lot of excitement. People were cheering all along the course for their friends and their family members. And I saw some little children holding up a big sign that said, "We love you, Daddy!" It was so cute, but seeing it also, like, made me feel very, very alone out there. The thing is, I don't really care if you're on a running team, or you have buddies that you go out with. When you're out there doing a long distance, it really is just you. And if you're an elite racer, yeah, maybe you're competing against someone else for the best time. But when it really comes down to it, you're really just there racing against yourself, whether it's just to push yourself to finish it, or whether you're trying to shave off 2 seconds from your last time. It's just you out there racing against yourself. And I didn't have anyone out there for me. My only real solace was that a few weeks earlier, I had mentioned this run to the Guildcast listeners on an episode. I usually, typically had never said very much about myself on the show. It was always just about Guild Wars. And of course, you could find out some of my principles and things that I believe in and stuff from just the way I behave in-game, but I never really talked about myself on Guildcast, and I happened to say a bunch of things about myself on episode 50. So I had mentioned this to the Guildcast listeners, and I got like a whole bunch of emails and, you know, various signs of support, and it meant the world to me. So, as I was out there, I thought of that, and it gave me a little bit more incentive to keep going. I kept up a slow, steady pace the entire time. Yes, I know that everyone else finished several hours before me, and they were even taking down the course and removing all the marker cones as I passed about the halfway mark. Fortunately, a lot of the course was on a trail, so I was able to recognize where to go. I did violate a rule that I had made for myself, probably about around mile 18 or so. I had sworn that I would only eat and drink the fuel that I had brought with me in my little pack because I knew that it worked for me and it would see me through to the end, right? Well, at one checkpoint, for some reason, I decided that I would grab some amino drink or something instead of just water, and it cramped my stomach up something awful. I felt horrible. So let that be a lesson to you. Don't try anything new on race day. Once I got off the trail and the course went back to the normal streets, there were multiple times when I thought I was lost because I had no cones to guide me. But the chalk lines, the arrows that they had drawn on the street, some of them were still visible. And there was a policeman who came by, drove by in his car to check on me, and he told me that there was people still at the finish line, so I waved and said thanks. You know, he said that they were still watching the people who were not done yet. But at around mile 22, I was hit with a massive, crippling cramp in my right calf. And I stretched it, and I tried to walk on it, and it just cramped up onto me again. And I could not walk. I could not move. And at that moment, I was so afraid. I almost panicked. I was thinking that I wouldn't be able to finish, and I was so upset. But then I was like, I screamed, and I was like, this is not f***ing happening to me. Not now, not here, not when I'm this close. And somehow I managed to start walking again and was able to keep going. And when I started getting close to the start line, I started recognizing the streets. So I started getting excited. But then it was only once I had actually gotten to the start line that I realized that I was lost. There was nobody in sight, and I had no idea where to go. Obviously, the start line was not the finish line. So I walked a little bit further. I doubled back. I couldn't see anyone. I asked a few people who were on the street, and they're like, I don't know. I tried to call the city's police. Of course, I got put on hold and never did reach anyone. So, yeah, they were really watching out for me, weren't they? But then finally I saw someone walking with a race bib on, and I asked her where the finish line was, and she kind of looked at me like I was crazy, but she directed me over to it. And it turned out I had gone several blocks too far. So, probably in my excitement, I just ran straight past it and didn't catch the turnoff area. But I ran back, and coincidentally, for inspiration, I was listening to Guildcast. And I got to the meadow where the finish line was, just as Sean's segment had ended. And I ran across the finish line the wrong way. I had come from the wrong direction, so I basically ran across the finish line backwards. Probably about, 15 minutes after I had run right past the damn place. But, it had taken me over 7 hours, and I knew that I would never be a world-class athlete or anything like that, but at that moment, I really didn't care. I had done it, and there were people who had said that I couldn't, and I did. I had no loved ones waiting there for me at the finish line. No one was there except for, some random person who handed me my finishing medal. But you want to know what I did have when I got home? I had emails and forum posts and in-game PMs from you guys congratulating me. And I don't know if I can ever describe how much that meant to me. it was only a matter of weeks later that, knowing that I could do something standing on my own two feet, that I left my husband. And it was one of the best things that I've ever done for myself. So that's my little story about how podcasting in general and Guildcast in particular changed my life. It's not a story that will go down in history or anything like that, but I felt like telling it. Normally at the close of an episode here, I would say something like, "This has been Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the street," or I would say, "Tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com," but today, all I really want to say is, my name is Astara, and thanks for listening.
They say it's all just illusion magic, and that it's gonna end so tragic. Oh, but I just can't believe you'd ever do that to me. There's a storm of chaos in my mind, and I never wanna leave you behind. You give me so much inspiration that I don't even mind the domination. I feel a surge of energy any time you're near me. You conjure up such fantasies, leaving me with my fever dreams. Cozy with your empathetic touch, I've never wanted anyone so much. And when you look into my eyes, I just feel so mesmerized.